Thank you, Jesus.
Just a sinner saved by grace. No other way you can be saved. And we've all sinned. Most of us today. In fact, I'll go so far as to say all of us sin today. You know, you've heard me say it before, and true it is, and I want you to chew on this. The biggest sin in the church is not adultery. It's not lying. It's not stealing. It's not killing. The biggest sin in the church is the sin of omission. See, the Word of God says, to him that knoweth to do good or to do the right thing, and doeth it not, to him, it's sin. And there's a whole lot of folks in a whole lot of churches of a whole lot of denominations that know what they should be doing, and they're not doing it. For whatever reason, and they'll give you 10,000 reasons. But the fact of the matter is this, to them it's sin. Now, there are certainly sins that we can commit, such as some that I already named, killing and lying and stealing. Ponder on that. I want to camp out here for just a minute. I'm a sinner saved by grace too, Skeeter. Hadn't always been a preacher. I got a past that I don't like to talk about a whole lot of it, and John, don't you tell them none of it. If you do, I'm going to tell on you. The truth of the matter is this, we're all conceived in sin, we're all born in sin, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's one sinless, righteous one, Jesus, the Son of God, that came to this earth and was tempted in all ways, just like you and me, but was without sin. Now, Scott brought up the point the other night in the Bible study, as we're studying the life of Christ, where some people want to debate the fact of because he was fully God and fully man, was it because he was God that he couldn't sin? Or was it because there was so much of the Spirit of God in him that he wouldn't sin? And he just said, yeah. The truth of the matter is, he was able not to sin. And guess what? You and I are able to also. But he said, brethren, I don't want you to sin. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, our Lord. In other words, you have a lawyer. Advocate means lawyer. You have a lawyer in Jesus Christ who's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you, pleading your case. And I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments about power. Not some power, not limited power, but Jesus said of himself in Matthew 28, all power in heaven and earth is mine. He has the power to lay down his life and to take it up. He has the power to forgive sin. He has the power to speak and it becomes, to create something out of nothing, to call forth the dead, to multiply loaves and fishes, to touch the leper and not only cleanse the leper but not get leprosy. He has the power. And he has the power to do what's needed in your life, in your relationship, in your marriage, in your business, in your emotions, in your hurts, in your wounds from the past. Listen, some people would tell you that time heals everything. Time don't heal nothing. You may go for a long period of time of something that has hurt you and happened to you, and one day out of nowhere something scratches the scab off and you bleed again. Only God heals. Amen. I want you to know He can heal you emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, relationally. He either is who He says He is, or He's the biggest con artist that has ever graced this earth. He's fooled and deceived more people than anyone else into writing more books about Him than any other individual that has ever lived. More songs written about Him than any other individual that has ever lived. More people that have took up His cause than any other person that has ever lived. Now the Muslim faith is rapidly gaining because Christians are sitting on their haunches and not doing what they should do. We're not going out into the highways and byways and compelling people to come to Christ. We're too self-absorbed with self, and we've become entangled with the cares of life when the Lord told us, take heed that you don't become entangled with the cares of life. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're sinful, but it's keeping you from running a race the way the Lord wants you to run it. That's why He said, I want you to lay aside every sin, every weight, and the sin that thus so easily besets you, and run this race with patience. Run it to obtain the prize. Notice He said, lay aside weights and the sin. There are some things in your life that are slowing you down, holding you back, keeping you from running the way God wants you to run, that aren't sin. They're just weights. Then there are other things that are sins that you need to repent of and give to the Lord and get cleansing from and move past that to get to a place that you are the victor and not the victim. That you become the head and not the tail. That you don't walk around in fear and worry and doubt. That you're not consumed with self-pity, but that you recognize the fact and embrace it in a righteous humility that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. A brand new creation in Him. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Not something, all things have become new. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. See, the devil wants you to see yourself as insignificant, irrelevant, weak, wishy-washy. He wants you to see as nothing, no role to play in the kingdom of God. And nothing could be further from the truth, because God's word clearly tells us we're all members of a body fitly joined together. We all have a function. We all have a role to play. And no one can take your place. That's why it's important that you step up to the plate, that you swing the bat, that you run the bases, and that you do what God has called you to do. You will reach a sphere and have an influence with people that I will never even encounter. And it's important. It's important for you to realize that the Word of God says, and the people that do know their God shall do exploits, great and mighty things, not in and of yourself, not by your own ability or your own might. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God, the anointing of God that will come upon you and work through you, and you will see things accomplished that you in and of yourself could never do. The anointing of God, the presence of God, the breath of God makes the difference. Word says it's the anointing that breaks yokes. Did you know this? The Bible says this of itself. Now I'm fixing to shock you, and you're going to want to fire me. But you can't. You didn't hire me. This says of itself, the letter killeth. And how many people, I've seen them, you have too, that boy, they used to call them Bible thumpers. Man, they come around and just whoop you upside the head with the Word of God. No compassion, no love. They beat you up with God's word, and everything they were saying was true. But it's the Spirit of God that makes the difference. You see, It's that person that's so full of his spirit, that's walking in his spirit, that's sensitive to the spirit, that he knows what time it is. See, there's a time for all things. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to talk. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. And we've got to get to the place where we're so in tune with the voice of God that we hear him say, be quiet. But I won't be quiet. And if you'll listen to that voice, you will see God's purposes accomplished through you. Now I want to preach for just a moment from Exodus chapter 4. Last week, Josh was talking about, Skeeter, you drinking my water?
No.
I'll get another. Josh was talking about the Exodus and the conversation that went on with Moses and Pharaoh. And he paralleled four things there as to how the devil still works, just like Pharaoh was working against Moses. And he's not changed those same tactics that he uses on us. And I want to go to the fourth chapter of Exodus and look at it from a different standpoint. I want to look at it from power source. And Moses answered and he said, but behold, now he'd been in the previous chapter, God had appeared unto him. He'd given him an assignment. He'd given him a mission to go and lead my people out of Egypt, lead them out of bondage, take them to a promised land that I'm going to show you, that I'm going to give you. And I know Moses had to have felt like saying, am I on candid camera? He's 80 years old at this point. Born, delivered out of the river, taken into the palace, raised for 40 years. Anger, temper got a hold to him. Saw somebody being beaten, so he killed an Egyptian. Fled to the backside of the desert. He's in the desert for 40 years. God appears to him and gives him this mission. Now with that knowledge, let's go. And Moses answered and he said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And Moses said, are you kidding me? No, he didn't say that. He said, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And he said, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned clean again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken unto the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass that if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto me, for I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. The Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh dumb, and who, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. I want to talk to you about this power trip that the Lord is sending Moses on. And I want us to notice four things in particular from this passage of Scripture that we read. There are many more things in there. One would be like when he told him to pick the snake up. You know, what first thing happened when he threw that rod down, what did he do? He took off. He did what most of us do. He'd go another way. Don't like snakes. Don't like them alive. Don't like them dead. Don't like nothing about them. Skeeter really don't like them. Nor do. I found that out. I got a couple of rubber ones I hide around here all the time. And but after he runs, the Lord says, pick it up. Take it by the tail. Pick it up. And here's a sermon in itself. When you hear the voice of God and have the power of God, you can face your fears. You don't have to run from your fears. You can face your fears. And you can take them by the tail and you can pick them up. But I'm not going to stay there. Here's the first point I'd really like to make. When he said in verse 2 through 5, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "Just a rod, just a stick." This rod is going to be representative of your life and my life. He said, "Throw it on the ground." And he threw it on the ground. That's when it became the serpent. He picks it up. It becomes a rod again. Now, from that point on, this is no longer an ordinary rod. This is a rod that Moses is going to use to demonstrate the power of God when he holds it out over the Red Sea and the waters parted. I wish I had time to go off into that. My friend Wayne Martin's here tonight, and he's a numbers guy. He was a machinist, and he gave me a good teaching here, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago about that scenario of when the children crossed the Red Sea. If I lie, just say amen. I'm doing the best I can, okay, Wayne? We know that there were somewhere between 2 and 3 million Jews that crossed. There were 600,000 men plus women and children. Wayne took it, and he allowed 18 inches, is that right, for a man, the width of a man's shoulders. He wanted to know how wide that water would have had to been pushed back for that many Jews, plus sheep, cattle, oxen, goats, and belongings to cross that Red Sea in the length of time we did. We know they did it in about a day. Many of the philosophers, scholars say about 16 hours, but in about a day. So how wide would that water have had to been pushed back for 2 to 3 million Jews to have crossed that river, that sea? And it's somewhere between 2 and 3 miles. It's not like our Sunday school lesson where these two big walls of water are standing up in a little narrow path. This water was pushed back 2 to 3 miles. I like what Wayne said. You know, Pharaoh's name was Pharaoh, not Pharaoh. Had he seen those walls of water standing up there, he wouldn't have trucked off out there. Keep in mind, those children crossed on what? Dry ground. Pharaoh's still in hot pursuit. He don't see the walls of the water. He sees the sand. He still thinks he's in the desert, but he's in the bed of the sea. So he trucks off out in there. That rod. When Moses lifted that rod, it became a little gentle breeze. Then the wind picked up, pushed those waters back. Keep in mind that when you lay your life at the feet of God, when you lay your life before the Lord, according to Romans, it said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God." When you lay your life at the feet of Jesus and surrender your life to Him, you'll no longer be just a natural, ordinary, everyday, common old boy or gal. Never again. Second point I'd like to make, we find in verse 6 and 7, where the Lord told him, he says, "Put your hand in your bosom." He put his hand in his bosom, and it came out leprous. He was showing Moses that the condition of man's heart is sinful. See, leprosy is used as a type or a shadow or a picture of sin. That's what is referred to in reference to sin. And he showed that when he put it into his bosom and he took it out, it was sinful. We have a sinful nature. That's why it's important that we don't walk as a natural man, but we learn to walk in the supernatural power of God. He said, "Put it back in there." So he put it back in, took it out. Leprosy's gone, cleansed. Your sins can be cleansed. We sang about that all night long. He has the power, all power. He has the power to forgive sins. He has the power to forgive sin tonight and to cleanse your hard heart and to take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He has the power to give you newfound hope. When the devil wants you to give up hope. Y'all have heard me make reference to this before, and I believe it with all of my heart, and we never need to forget it. The devil wants us to get to a place of hopelessness. Why? When you don't have hope, you can't have faith. Hebrews says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And if the devil can get you to give up hope, you can't even have faith. Oh, you can fake it. You can look religious. You can look spiritual. But you're not living and walking in faith. Thirdly, we see in verse 12 where he's got the power to guide us and to be with us, because we see there where he says, now therefore go, and I will be with thee in thy mouth and will teach thee what to say. We got to recognize the fact in the New Testament it's referred to us this way, that the steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord. God doesn't want us walking confused and haphazardly just, I'm just going to show my ignorance. I think, how stupid. How many of y'all seen them people out there in the mall walking along texting? Whoa, right off out in the water. Turn them upside down. I keep looking for that one of those to be my wife any day. No, she doesn't walk and text. She drives and texts. Sunday, she was knocked the mirror off Tahoe, hit something. I said, what were you doing? She said, I was trying to answer Tag's text. I said, call her. Oh, well. But the power to guide us and to be with us. Fourthly, and I'll close in verse 9. He has the power. Now, don't miss this. He has the power to turn a blessing into a curse. Because you see, he told him to take that water out of the river. Which, how many of you can easily believe that water in the desert is a precious commodity? He says, and pour it on dry ground. And it became blood. This is the only sign the Lord gave that he didn't reverse. And he was saying this to us, people. I want to bless you. I want to bestow good upon you. I want you to have things and stuff and what you need. But I've discovered that oftentimes we get so mesmerized by stuff and things that we lose sight of God, and our blessings can become a curse to us. And the next thing we know, we're going through all kinds of hell. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe our business bellies up. Maybe our health just turns on us, whatever the case may be. But our blessings can be turned into a curse if we don't allow repentance in our life, if we don't have a broken and contrite spirit, if we don't come before the Lord and make things right. It's that simple. But God does want you to have the power. He does want you to walk in victory. He does want you to be saved not only for eternity. He's wanting to give you more than just fire insurance. He wants you to have an abundant life right here on earth, right now. He wants you to walk in peace and joy. He wants you to have the peace of God that surpasses understanding. He wants to give you things that money can't buy. But it all starts with a repentant heart, a surrendering your life to him, allowing those sins to be cleansed. And then from there, you need to become a disciple, a student, a studier of him, his word. And let the word of God, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, instruct you and form convictions in you as to what not to do and what to do. You see, I found that it's more to do's than there is not do's in here. Real simple. And you need to hear the voice of the Lord teach you what he expects of you. With that, I'm going to close. If you just bow your head for a moment, I'd like to ask you this. Maybe you've one of those that's got caught up in the busyness and hurriedness of life. You say, Dennis, I've kind of been doing my own thing, my own way, and I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I've got sin in my life that I'm tired of carrying it. I'm tired of living this way. There's got to be more to life than just existing and doing what I'm doing. Tonight I've heard through song how much God loves us and how He can save us and how He can change what we were into something new. How He can cleanse us and set us free from addictions, and how He can heal and restore and unite and unify. Tonight I want to swallow my pride and just say, that's me. I want to make some things right with God. If that's you, just slip up your hand, anyone, anywhere. Yes, 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 thank you. Yes, sir, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Thank you, young lady. Yes, ma'am, thank you. Thank you, and you, and you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Thank you, two guys down front. Look up here at me. I want you to understand from God's word the plan of salvation. I've already said it. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that can be good enough on our own. We can't give enough money. We can't do enough good works. We can't sing enough songs to earn our way into heaven. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Word says that if we believe Jesus is the Son of God, came to this earth, lived a sinless life, laid His life down, died in our place so that we could live, didn't stay dead, walked out of a grave 3 days later, and He's alive today. And He's the same today as He ever was. That if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. And here's what you got to understand. My prayers can't save you. The Word says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So it's important. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in case you don't know how to pray. I've discovered there's so many people that come to Open Range that have never been to church. They don't know how to pray. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer in case you don't know how, but it's important that you pray audibly, confess with your mouth. So would you bow your heads, and if that's your wish and your heart and you're serious and you're sincere, God knows the thought and intent of your heart, and your sins are about to be cleansed. Right now, you're about to become a child of God. So let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I believe with all my heart that You're God's Son that came to this earth, died in my place so that I could live. You walked out of a grave. You're alive today. You're coming back to get Your children one of these days, and I want to be one of them. So I ask You now to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with Your blood, to come into my life, be my Savior and Lord. Teach me how to hear Your voice. Help me to understand Your word. I want to do right, but God, I need Your help. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now listen, it's important. I want to just tell you right now, Lord Jesus Himself was baptized, and for those of you that, and even others, that you need to be baptized, whether it's here or somewhere else, you need to be baptized. We'd be honored to baptize you at this place, and we're going to be having a baptism. We'll come up before long. Some of you say, well, I don't see no water. Well, we'll bring some in. It's important. The word repent means two things. You just repented, but here's what it means: to change the way you think and to go the opposite direction of the way you've been going. Go in a new direction. God's going to help you. We will help you. we're not going to just throw you out there on your own. If we can help you in any way, let me know. We have some materials down here that those of you that just accepted the Lord, you need these. It's a little book called The Next 7 Days. It's a word for the day Bible study, a half a page a day. God's creative power, the little white book. Come and help yourself to those. God bless you. We love you. Have a happy Father's Day. Don't forget the fathers. We love you.